I want to start again and tell you about the billboard. But I'm going to leave that out since I already said it. We need to have wisdom. And I'm seeing so much in the world. In case you haven't noticed, we almost had a comet. You know, it came pretty close to the Earth the other day, and we had a meteor hit Russia, and we had a solar flare that's 6 times the size of the Earth that just erupted about 5 days ago, and it's on its way to the Earth. And we're having all these tsunamis and earthquakes, just like the scripture, and everything just seems like, oh man, we're getting close to the end. And not only that, but we have a government that seems to want to take us in a direction that we're kind of unwilling to go towards. This thing of socialism and all the pressures of government becoming so much a part of your life that they have to tell you what size soda you can drink. I'm feeling like we're seeing a trend here. And the trend is things are getting worse and worse. And the trend is it looks like Scripture is being fulfilled. But of course, they've always been saying Scripture is almost ready to pop. You know, the people that say, any day now it's going to happen. Remember Brother Herbert, he would say, this spring, brother. And then we always had, every decade, it seems like at the end of every decade, they've got to talk about how this could be it. This is really it. And of course, Y2K, did your stock up any beans and rice in Y2K? Because I still have some I want to get rid of if you want to. It's coming close to its expiration date. But we are seeing all these things happen, and I personally am not real confident that we're not going to see the United States go into a real downturn. I would like to be an optimist, but a little bit right now of a pessimist, because I see everything. It seems like the people want to leave God behind. And the reality that is happening now is anything you do, anything you want to feel is good for you. It's happy as long as you're happy and you're feeling it good, then it doesn't matter what God says, because we feel it's good. Okay. I think what we're going to find is people are going to get what they want. And the trouble is, once they get it and the fruit of it comes, they're not going to like it. I wanted to share a couple of passages. Now, David, don't get nervous, because I'm... you can go onto the internet and pick a word, and you type it into this program, and it'll spit out hundreds of scriptures. Have you ever done that? Well, here's an example. And I'm going to go through each one, David. What's my time? Okay, we're doing good. Now, I'm going to read a couple things about wisdom, because wisdom is very important. It's, you know, one of the top 10 of God's things that he talks about. And the scripture says that in Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So wisdom is really important to God, and I want to try to expand on that a little bit. I'm going to read a couple of these, and David, there's only 8 post-it, so, and I had to borrow the post-it from somebody, so they're kind of torn, but great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. Oh, that one came off, sorry. You guys are going to miss that great quote. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. So there's a key. Something about wisdom, it makes you want to win souls. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. That's another proverb. And by the way, if you want to learn about wisdom, really study Solomon and all the things he went through. He got wisdom, and then he irped it all up, and in Ecclesiastes he barfed it all out and basically said it's kind of folly to get wisdom. And I think he was having a little bit of a lapse in his his walk with God. Of course, he had, what was it, married 700 women and 7,000 concubines. So he lost his wisdom along the way. Okay, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. So there's a thing of, you know, you want to be wise, get around somebody that's wise. And David, you're a good example. Fred, we have examples of wisdom all through the group here. So hang out with them and you'll get wiser, or you'll be a wise guy like John. Just kidding, John. He was teasing me a lot at dinner, so I'm trying to get back at him. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. So there's a good one for you. Wisdom makes you stronger. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and a multitude of counselors that there is safety. That's an important one, because we are constantly faced with decisions. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Okay, now that was just one sheet. That was wisdom. That was wise. This is wisdom. Okay, I've only got a few on here. And Moses called the Baziel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. This is important, because God didn't just, you know, they didn't just say, well, let's just put together and let's get hire the best craftsmen. No, they said, get the ones that are wise and have wisdom, and their hearts are stirred within them. For what? To bring people closer to God. So they had this thing in them. It was the Holy Spirit teaching them how to build things. And when the Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon, she was amazed by what she saw. She said, everything that I've been told, it's not even half of what I see. She saw so much beauty and the creativity of the wisdom of how he served the meals, what they wore. Everything was wisdom from God had gone into making this temple and the Solomon's house. And it was amazing. So look for those that have their hearts stirred to build things. And that's the ones you will find. God is bringing forth creativity. Okay. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Okay, I'm reading this one. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom. Now here's a key. God has built the world and the universe with wisdom. His wisdom said, I'm going to make something that's so fantastic that you guys, you aren't even going to be able to hold it in your mind. It's things which eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Now, I've been going through this Truth Project. It's a focus on the family step lessons that you can get the DVDs, and there's 13 lessons. But this thing was talking about how the scientists used to think there was all like 1,025 stars. They were able to count them. And this was kind of way back, you know, a ways before they had Hubble telescope. Well, when they got the Hubble telescope, they found out that there's like 20 to the sextillion or something. It's like 30 zeros of number of stars. And really, the scripture says, as many of the sand, grains of sand in the seashore, that's how many stars he made. So I don't know if it's an exact count. Maybe it's one off or two off, whatever. But we're in the midst of a amazing universe. And then we're in the midst of an amazing people. Now, God really kind of likes the church. I don't know if you noticed that about God. Why does he like us? I haven't figured it out yet. There's something more that we don't even know what he likes about us. We know that he loves us, but do you know how much he loves us? We don't even know it yet. It hasn't entered our hearts, our minds. Okay, I'm done with these, David. So, and now I'm talking about, if you have a chance, be sure to get this Truth Project. And maybe, I don't know if you've done it before as a church, but this would be a good thing to go through the lessons, because you learn about a biblical worldview. And it turns out that only about 9% of Christians have a biblical worldview. And the survey, they did 8 questions to see, you know, what Christians would say, and only 9% of Christians got the questions right. So we're dealing in a world where the Christian culture has kind of strayed, and they have a lot of things that they've opened up to. Well, this is okay, this is okay, this is okay. We're going to hold on to this truth, we like this one, but these others are kind of old-fashioned. Yeah. So a lot of the old-fashioned stuff, they're dropping off, and I really feel they're missing amazing things. There's a show on TV called The Doomsday Preppers. I don't know if you've seen this. But if you want to see how dumb people can get and how crazy you can get, there's one guy that digs a hole in the ground and covers it up with rocks and brush and stuff so you can't see him. He can hide. And it's only big enough just to stand in. And he's going to hide in there for whatever the end, you know, the doomsday thing that comes. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm not going to hide in a little hole somewhere. I might, you know, keep my beans and rice for a while, but this whole thing, the doomsday preppers, there's so many ways that you can get it. And, you know, we're hearing all this stuff more and more as we go, but I think the key is we're going to need wisdom. Because you can prepare, maybe you can have a tinfoil hat to protect you from certain radiation beams. You can have an underground bunker and eat your beans and rice and your underground bunker. And, of course, you got to have a machine gun nest to mow down all the zombies, your neighbors that are coming at you for the food. I don't think that's what God has in mind for us. I think the key for us is going to be wisdom. We have to know what is the right thing to do. What if there isn't a rapture right away and you start seeing persecution? Are you going to be ready? You know, I've heard Christians say, oh, well, all this stuff is coming, but the rapture is going to take us out before this happens. And I'm thinking, well, it could, it might, but I'm not banking on the rapture taking me out. I really am looking forward to the rapture. I'm not sure when it's going to be, but I know if you're a Christian in China or in Saudi, or where some of these places where Christians are being tortured, you would think that the tribulation was already among you. And I think that's what we probably are facing. We think, well, you know, hasn't happened here, so we're okay. I think we're going to see some stuff here. Now, if I'm wrong, I'll be glad to admit, if things just go the other way, prosperity, everybody becomes rich again, I don't think so, but let's see. We'll see what happens. Turn to, I have the first one, and actually, David, I want you to know I put Post-its in my Bible this time, so I won't get lost. So, it's good, huh? Okay, 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's start with that one. In verse 5, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? And so Solomon goes on to say, well, you know, I have so many people here,
And I really want to have, and listen what he asked for. Give to your servant, in verse 9, an understanding heart. And in the margin it says the hearing heart, to judge your people that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? And the speech pleased the Lord, and that Solomon had asked this thing. And then God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and have not asked for a long life, and so on, but you have asked for, at the end there, understanding to discern justice. So one of the keys of wisdom, the thing that God gave Solomon, was the ability to discern between good and evil. Now, where have you heard that good and evil thing? Where did that start? The garden. What was that tree? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. But one of the things when you read that passage, it says that the tree was good to look at, and it was desirable to eat, and also it was desirable to give you wisdom. So this was really kind of like there was a wisdom tree and there was a tree of life. And here Solomon is saying, give me wisdom. Give me that the thing, the ability to discern. And there's scriptures that talk about how this is justice. The justice is to discern between good and evil. Okay, now verse 16, he says, now two women who were harlots. Now I don't know why they had to let you know they're harlots, but it's important that you know that God loves harlots too. So he gives wisdom to everyone. They came to the king and stood before him, and one woman said, my lord, this woman I dwell in the same house. I won't read this again because you know the story. One woman says, it's my baby. The other one says, no, it's my baby. And one harlot had stolen the other harlot's baby and was saying it was hers. And so Solomon says, okay, bring me a sword. Let's deal with this right now. We'll just cut this baby right in half and give each mother a half. Well, you know, what a dumb thing by our minds. You know, that's absolutely ridiculous. But yet, look at the wisdom. What did it do when he said, let's cut it in half? The real mother said, oh, go ahead and give it to the other woman. She saw her baby about to be cut in half. She's the one that cared. The other woman said, yeah, let's cut it in half. We'll both get half. So Solomon took the baby from the lying whore. Oh, did I say that? I don't know if you can say that on tape, can you? Anyway, can you edit that out? Oh, where is he? Larry will take care of that for me. He took the baby and gave it to the real mother. There's another passage. This is one where Jesus, and this is in John chapter 8, and Jesus was preaching on the Mount of Olives, and then they brought this woman to him and said, this woman was caught in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? They said this, just testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. Well, Jesus kind of ignored him and started writing on the ground. Well, one of the things they didn't mention was in the law, it said when somebody was caught in adultery, you're supposed to stone the man and the woman. And notice that they didn't bring the man and say, this man and this woman are about to be stoned, you know, what do you say? No, I don't know. It was weird that they just brought the woman. It's a little bit of, what do you call it, chauvinism or something. And then they kept asking him, then bugging him. And he stooped down. And then he said, you know, he that is without sin,
among you, let him cast the first stone.
In other words, like Solomon saying, get me a sword and cut the baby. Jesus was saying, go ahead, stone her. If you are without sin, be my guest.
Wisdom.
It wasn't an obvious thing. It was something that God gave Christ to say at that moment that was perfect. He didn't try to defend the situation. He said, yeah, go ahead, stone him, stone her. And I think wisdom is not like common sense. So you think, well, when I get older, I'll be wise. How many of you realize that you got older and you didn't get that much wiser? Being older doesn't help necessarily. It may be really stupid as you get older, and worse and worse. So age doesn't help. A number of years of being trained doesn't help. God has to give you wisdom. This is something that the Holy Spirit has to help you. Yes. Now, I talked about how the doomsday prepper thing, maybe people are thinking, well, we should go to the mountains and build a cabin and surround it and have some water source and the whole thing. It sounds really good, but that's not wisdom. That's just, you know, kind of like using all your facts. I think we're going to have to know exactly what does God want you to do. What if God says, go right up to this problem and face it right there? Your mind wouldn't say, do that, because you're a little afraid. You wouldn't want to just jump in. But the Lord with wisdom tells you to do something that isn't what you expect. Okay, number three, David. I'm getting close. Colossians 2. I'll just read this one to you. You don't have to turn to it. In verse 3, it says how Christ is in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And by the way, if you do a search on wisdom, there's about 30, 40 scriptures that say wisdom and knowledge in the same scripture. And in this study that I was doing, there was 230 references to the word wisdom. So there's a lot in the Bible if you want to read through and learn more about it. But okay, the next one is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring you the testimony of God. But I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, I think we are going to have a lot of things revealed to us as we go to find out what is God's plan. We kind of hear the outline of it. He died on the cross. He wants to raise us up. And in fact, we believe that he wants to make us like Christ. He wants to put everything, every benefit and every blessing in the creation, he wants to put it in us. Now, we don't even know what that is yet. We're still learning about that. Let's turn to, let's go, Psalms 104. In verse 24, he says, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. Now, God's wisdom has... He created the earth using this wisdom, and guess what? This plan that he made for us is also the wisdom of God. And it's so far beyond that your mind can't anticipate it and can't engulf it. The I have another one here. This is in Ephesians chapter 3. And you've heard these scriptures before, but I really wanted to say, like verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now, what is manifold wisdom? Now, manifold, you'll know, is this thing that goes on a car near the carburetor. No, this is not the manifold in this term. Is many-faceted. It's sort of another way of saying this wisdom was even greater than we realize what wisdom is. It's manifold wisdom. And what was it that the wisdom of God made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places? So this next step of God's creation involves the church, and it's going to be fantastic. We're going to be amazed, and I believe we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg when we think, yeah, I got a glimpse of what this is. No, you don't even realize yet what he's done for us. Okay, James chapter 1 verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Now this is a neat promise, because it's, first of all, it says, if any of you. Who does that apply to? Well, any of you. Well, what about me? Yes, any of you. Well, wait a minute. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, and we do, what do you have to do to get it? You have to really struggle, right? You got to intensely pray with your hand chopping like this. You got to do this. No, it says, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. That means you ask for wisdom a little bit, like Solomon was given so much wisdom that the kingdom of Israel at that time, they were so rich, everybody, every king on the earth wanted to come and hear Solomon's wisdom. And I mentioned before how that they were so rich that gold and silver was as common as stones. So it was kind of left laying in piles along the road. Everybody was rich. And if any of you lack wisdom, well, we know we lack, so all we have to do is ask. And believe me, God gives you wisdom when you ask him. So my saying to you is to ask him. Begin asking him and believing that he's going to give it to you, and he will. Amen. Take this off.
Thank you. Received the word this morning.
Oh, sorry. Father, we do. We ask you the simplicity of faith for your wisdom to become more and more real and evident in our lives. And in your wisdom, Lord, we know we will have your heart and your mind, and we'll be connected in a vital way to your living presence. Amen.